Radio.
Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, today on Stand in the Gap Today, we're going to invite in George Barna, a regular guest. He's the executive director of American Culture and Faith Institute, for a discussion of a very, very critical topic. That topic is Christian conservatives, and I'm assigning this title to it, When Winning May Be Losing. Now, while the involvement of Christian conservatives, we know from the research, clearly in the November 8th election, was likely the human reason for the Trump victory, there is identified within this week's American Culture and Faith Institute's research results a very fatal blind spot, as I would say it, that if left unaddressed, will, as originally attributed to Abraham Lincoln, this phrase, quote, snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. And we'll discuss why this recent win may be temporary at best if certain attitudes are not changed, and very soon, not just within our broad culture, but even specifically within our Christian, conservative, evangelical culture. We're going to talk about that beginning in segment two. And we are going to leave the program today with solutions to what we're going to identify. But ladies and gentlemen, this is being a very practical thing. We're wondering, we're all wanting to be a part of making sure that what we say, this temporary reprieve that we have gotten, that we actually act upon it appropriately. We're going to talk about that today. And one of these blind spots that we've got to know about, or lest it catch us from behind, and we don't not prepared for that. With that, let me welcome you to today's program. This is Sam Rohr, and I'm going to be joined by David Kistler and Gary Dahl. And we welcome you to Stand in the Gap today, now heard on over 425 stations nationwide, with signals being received in all 50 states, and of course, worldwide via the internet. Now, that being said, man, let me start off the program today, and I'd like to discuss a bit of this issue. We can't go into real detail, but this issue of what we're now hearing referred to repeatedly in the news as fake news. The media is full of this reference now, but mostly, as I'm able to determine, not a really established and agreed to definition. However, if I go to Wikipedia, which sometimes is not a good place to go and not reliable, I will tell you, nonetheless, they often have what is culturally accepted definitions. This is how they define fake news. They say it's this: hoaxes or false news stories created with the intention to mislead people. They go on, fraudulently false stories. They go on to describe fake news websites. That's another definition. Fake news websites as, quote, part of the rise of post-truth politics, end quote. Find that very, very interesting. Dave, let me go to you first. With just this small description of fake news, and from what you are hearing, what is it? What words stand out to you to describe what fake news really is in simple, simple terms?
Well, Sam, let me say this before I point out the words. I think sometimes they may accuse us of what we talk about as being fake news when we're trying to bring the truth. But the bottom line is, Sam, this, you know, the words mislead, fake, false, anything that's done that is not of the truth, those are the words that stand out. And Sam, here's what's so sad about it. As one who works on Capitol Hill on a regular basis, Sam, I am in meetings on Capitol Hill. I am around the events that take place on Capitol Hill. We'll be next Monday and Tuesday again. And what is amazing is to be in the room where certain things happen and then to watch the news reporting of it by those in the mainstream media. And Sam, I honestly wonder what planet are they on, because they will describe things and say certain things happen when many times it is the polar opposite of what happened. That is the tragedy of our culture with respect to this fake news.
And Dave, that's a great setup. I'm going to go to Gary now. Gary, you're a preacher. Everybody in this broadcast knows that. But you actually started out in broadcast journalism. within the media. You have been through classes and instruction given to reporters and journalists and so forth. What was it that they taught you was inherent within the duty and responsibility of journalists and the press in reporting the news?
Well, Sam, in that day, and of course, I don't know if it's changed in the last 35 or 40 years, but in that particular day, there were four things that really they brought home to us. Number one, always search for the facts and make sure that you get the facts accurately. Secondly, confirm your sources. Don't just go on one or two, but get as many as you can and make certain that their facts are accurate. Number three, communicate accurately. And then number four, avoid bias. And I can imagine that, they are taught that today. They should be taught that today. But that's what we were taught back in the day. And I think that if journalists would follow those four particular principles, we would get true news rather than fake news in America today.
Hmm. Well, Gary, you sound, this was all very ethical. What Dave described what it as fake news and what the definition was just the opposite of that. Now, let me bring in, before we go to this next segment, George Barnett. George, you're on the call with us right now on the radio. Let me ask you this question generally. What happens when a culture actually is both inundated and becomes accepting of fake news, or where the news purposely deceives the people? What happens to a culture like that? What are the risks?
Well, it's kind of interesting because in many ways, when you continually perpetuate lies for the purpose of distorting people's understanding of reality, that kind of fantasy world that's been proposed to the listener becomes a self-fulfilling reality. We begin to see it in front of us. We begin to believe that that's the way that things are. And so that becomes our filter. So what happens is you take on a distorted worldview, one that's not based on reality, but one that's based on the falsehoods that have been put before you. And so in turn, because of the impact of a worldview on every choice you make, your choices in life become distorted in terms of your relationships, how you use your resources, what you expect of people and institutions. And in the end, it becomes much easier to doubt truth because the whole worldview, the whole perception of reality that you've now built your choices upon, for you to blow that up is a very difficult thing. You need really persuasive, convincing evidence that you've been led astray. We don't like to believe that we're that vulnerable. And so once we believe in this newly constructed reality, it's much easier for us to doubt the existence of God. It's easier for us to doubt the truths and principles that are conveyed to us in the Bible. And it's easier for us just to lose our sense of discernment that God has given to us based on this whole new reality that we're confronted with.
Gentlemen, it's a great introduction to the program today, which the overall theme is when winning may be losing. And when we come back after this segment, we're going to continue with George Barna and look at this week's research results, with this next theme being, what is it that, or who or what is it that Christian conservatives credit most with influencing their thinking? So that's going to be a positive perspective. We're going to look at this as we come back after this next segment. But truth is really the issue at hand here, folks. What happens when the truth is thrown out of a culture and out of the media?
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' Editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Live, love, learn, and leave a legacy. These are great words, but if you want to leave a legacy to your children and grandchildren these days, it's going to take some careful planning. And that's where we come in. We're the Life Financial Group, advisors you can trust. We're Christian, families based upon the Bible, so that we can say we truly understand your values. In fact, for nearly 40 years, folks of all ages have counted on us to care for and grow their financial resources. Through prayer, prudent investment, and pleasant, knowledgeable people, we can help you navigate your investments so you feel secure. We're glad to offer morally clean investment options that won't sear your conscience or make you anxious. We're also comfortable talking about increasing the impact of your charitable giving. How do we make a difference? So learn how you can have peace of mind by calling us today at 610-385-4500. That's 610-385-4500. Or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Up next, Dr. Carol Swain with 2 minutes to think about it. From high school dropout and teenage mother to esteemed Vanderbilt University political science and law professor, Carol examines the religious significance of today's most pressing issues and courageously exposes the cultural forces that threaten our cherished values and principles.
Hello, folks. It's time to return to politics. Since the presidential election, we've had unprecedented levels of opposition to the election of President-elect Donald J. Trump. The day after the election, I wrote a blog describing the strong impression I had that our nation was teetering on the edge of a precipice. I warned of difficult times ahead related to the Marxist socialist agenda that sees itself threatened by the election of Mr. Trump and the empowerment of people who hold traditional Judeo-Christian values. We are witnessing an uprising of people who would like to destroy our political system and our way of life. Instead of the orderly transition of power, we see endless protests and a strategy of creating chaos at home and abroad. Instead of accepting the president-elect and admitting to mistakes, Democrats blame Russia, white nationalists, and apathetic voters for the well-deserved trouncing that Hillary Clinton received. Instead of facilitating the transition of power, President Obama has attacked Russia over alleged cyber hacking, and he has betrayed Israel. The latter is especially troubling because Israel has been our most important ally in the Middle East. Those of us who reject replacement theology, the belief that the church replaced Israel in prophecy, believe God blesses nations who bless Israel and he curses its enemies. What can we do? We can continue to pray without ceasing.
Learn more about Dr. Carol Swain at BeThePeopleTV.com, CarolMSwain.net, and on Facebook at Professor Carol M. Swain, Ph.D.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to continue now with our overall theme on this program, Christian Conservatives, when winning may in fact be losing, and we're going to go immediately now to our special guest, George Barna. He's the Executive Director of American Culture and Faith Institute, the founder of the original Barna Group. George, we brought you in on the last segment, and you did a great job of laying out the implications or the effects of what happens to a culture that is either inundated with or accepts lies and dishonesty and fake news. And if I could summarize it, you ultimately said it ultimately will affect the people's attitude and view and perception of reality and God himself. And boy, what critical thing that is. That being the case, let me welcome you, George, and I'm going to ask you as you enter the program now here officially here again with us, the name change that you're going through at the Culture and Faith Institute, and I'd like you to tell us what that is first of all, and then we can go into the first line of questioning here.
Yeah, well, the American Culture and Faith Institute will retain its name. What's changing is the name of our weekly newsletter. For the past year or so, it's been called the SageCon Weekly, ever since we started it. And that's because we are focusing on this group of conservative Christians who believe that politics matters. And so we have been doing research with that group consistently, put out a weekly article, a report based on the research called the SageCon Weekly. But that was primarily about the 2016 election. As we get past that election now, we're expanding the focus of our research to really take a deeper dive into understanding the culture of America itself. And so we're expanding our research even beyond SageCons. We'll be doing general public surveys on a regular basis, as well as continuing to do the research with SageCons. Now we'll be able to not just know what Christian conservatives think, but we'll be able to compare their thoughts, their behaviors, their views, their beliefs to those of the general public, so that we get a better sense of if we want to see the culture transformed to honor God more deeply, what's going to have to happen in terms of government, in terms of faith, in terms of family, entertainment, arts, the news media, business, schools. All of those areas make up what constitutes America's culture. And so if we want to move to culture, we need to understand those areas and how people are relating to them. And so that's what American Culture Review is going to be doing.
Excellent, George. Very quickly, appropriate right now, tell people where they can go to sign up to receive this weekly update.
Yeah, it's a free weekly report. It's at culturefaith.com. And when you go on the website, you'll see all the past issues. You can read those, but you can also, as Sam suggested, sign up to get it sent to you each week for free every Wednesday.
Excellent. Thank you, George. Okay, now let's go right into this section here. In the on the program, there are many times you've talked about, and we've talked at depth here, about the statistics that you've uncovered about conservatives, politically active Christians, what they think. And in this research, it appears this week that you're attempting perhaps to find out more about why they think about what they're thinking rather than the what. Let me just ask you from this perspective, when you do research, much of it is obviously the what, but before we get into the findings of this one, why is it important to know the whys, and what are you trying to find out about that?
Well, ideally, you want to know both of these things. You want to know what people are thinking or doing, but you do want to know why, because if you discover that they're doing or thinking something that may be inappropriate, it may be counterproductive, it may be wrong in some manner, it may not be as good as it could be in some fashion, well, you don't want to just treat the symptoms. You have to understand what caused them to be doing or thinking that. And so if our lives are supposed to be about progress, where we're continually trying to become more Christ-like, that's the process of growth. But you can only grow when you really understand how you got to where you are, what's standing between you and where you need to be, and then you can take effective action to move forward.
George, if you could now, would you share with us what it is that Christian conservatives indicate influences their thinking the most? And then were there things that they stated that influenced their thinking that surprised you?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was an interesting survey because we found that there were three particular things that a large majority of conservative Christian adults say continually influence their lives. And they identified the Bible, they identified religious teaching, and they identified the values that they were taught by their parents. All of those are good and wonderful things, I think, because we're talking about individuals who are really devoted to their faith. They work at their faith. I mean, it's both a joy and a challenge to them to do that, but they're serious about their faith. So it's reasonable to believe that, yeah, the Bible and religious teaching do have a significant impact. But by, you know, the same token, you've got to look at what do they think doesn't influence them. And I think, you know, among the things that surprised me were the fact that most of them do not think, for instance, that the government and its laws and regulations has a lot of influence on them. Most of them don't think that family members
have a lot of influence on them, or friends, or decisions by the courts, or the media, entertainment media, or information media, either one of them. So, you know, you look at that whole picture and you think, wow, that's really interesting that they look at the things that have shaped the positive elements within their life, presumably, and they say, well, those are the things that have the greatest influence, and then they basically say nothing else really has much impact on me.
You know, George, it's very interesting, and of course, what I was going to ask you is, what would this group say influences them the least? And I think you touched on that a little bit there, and if you want to expand upon it some more, why, please feel free to do so. But getting back to the fact that the Bible, religious teaching, and parents in that order are most influential, you know, in the program here, being that this is the American Pastors Network, we talk a lot about the church. And I'm just wondering, George, what you found about, specifically speaking, how much the church itself makes an impact and an influence upon the people of this particular age, or would that be tied into the Bible and religious teaching? Can you break that down maybe just a little bit more?
Yeah, actually what we tried to do was to separate that out into the primary components of what the church is bringing into people's lives. And so from that vantage point, again, remember, this is an unusual group of people. They represent 10 to 12% of the public. They're people who consistently attend church. They consistently read the Bible. Their faith is of huge importance to them, and they acknowledge that to anybody who asks. And they're very intent upon trying to implement the principles of their faith into how they live. So it's not surprising, really, that this particular group would say that the Bible and religious teaching play a key role in influencing them. When we start doing later this month some of the national surveys with the general public, I'm guessing that we will not see numbers nearly that high. And we know that because most people don't go to church. Most Americans don't read the Bible. Most Americans, if they believe in God, they don't believe that He's actively involved in their lives. And so that's diminished their sense of connection with Him and their desire to really be active in deploying whatever their faith, beliefs, and principles may be in their day-to-day choices. So we're going to see some real differences when we look at the rest of the culture.
George, picking up on the profile, the demographics of the audience here, did you find any difference in this overall perspective based on the age of the respondent or on the sex of the respondent? Did men view things differently than women? Or what about income levels? Did you find any differences based on those factors?
Yeah, you know, we didn't find that sex made much of a difference. Men and women generally gave similar answers to all the things that we were looking at in this regard. But we did find that there were some significant differences with regard to household income. Again, remember, these are conservative Christian people. But when we looked at those who live in households that have incomes under $60,000, in other words, kind of middle to lower income households in the country these days, what we found is that they're more likely to be open to influence by the government. They're more likely to want the government to have influence in their lives and in our culture in the future. Now, whether that's because they are the recipients of government funding or programs or assistance of some type, the survey didn't get into that. But it was interesting to see that they were notably higher in terms of saying in the future, in terms of what they would like to see influence the culture, they were more open to federal officials, judges, state government officials, public schools, all of these government entities having greater influence.
Did the younger group at all have any preference, or how do they gravitate towards the pulpit, for example, or to church, or to even family members? What are the factors did you maybe pick up in the younger ages, in addition to the income difference here?
Yeah, with the younger people, what we were finding is that they were more likely to say that their family had a larger share of influence and continues to have a larger share of influence on how they think. In some ways, you would expect that, but to me personally, that's encouraging because, again, what we're seeing is that at least with conservative Christian families, the family unit still matters. We also saw that they were less likely to say they want government to be different and a lot of influence. in their lives before.
When we come back from the break, we're going to go into the third segment with George Barna, and we're going to pick up the theme here now of this aspect of the blind spot. There was a very big blind spot that George referred to in this segment. We're going to talk about that specifically in the next segment. The Bible is there as the big major influence, but we know the media is not, but there's a problem there, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk about that and open that up in the next segment.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. At a Senate hearing on foreign cyber attacks, National Intelligence Director James Clapper calls Russia a major and growing threat, with at least 30 nations developing cyber attack capabilities.
Adversaries are pushing the envelope. Since this is a tool that doesn't cost much and sometimes is hard to attribute.
President Obama has received the report he ordered on foreign election interference. President-elect Trump has an intelligence briefing tomorrow. And President Obama's addressed an open letter to the American people today.
The president highlighted the work his administration has done on the economy, healthcare, and revitalizing the U.S. auto industry, and also touted the Iran nuclear deal, the Paris climate change agreement, and normalization of relations with Cuba. The president said he regrets not being able to pass gun control legislation or immigration reform.
Fox's John Decker at the White House. Fox News, we report, you decide.
WFYL. From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. It is a privilege to have this opportunity to speak with you and a broad audience over this wonderful Christian radio station about issues that really matter and to encourage action and involvement to make Pennsylvania a better place for families and children. Another great medium for getting the word out, one that didn't even exist all that long ago, is social media. And I'd like to encourage you to check out our Facebook page and our blog here at Pennsylvania Family Institute. Both these resources will help keep you up to date on issues impacting marriage and family, religious liberty, the sanctity of life, and more. It's a great way to stay in touch. Our Facebook page is labeled Pennsylvania Family Institute and Council. And you can go there and give us a like, if you would, and check out our posts. Our blog is located on our website at pafamily.org. That's pafamily.org. And you can also contact us the old-fashioned way by telephone, toll-free 1-800-FAMILY-1.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Now, continuing in our focus on Christian conservatives and their attitudes on this program today with George Barna, who's the Executive Director of American Culture and Faith Institute, we're going to go now to this area that we touched on briefly in the last segment, and that is the issue that in this research that American Culture and Faith Institute has released is the idea that there is a blind spot that has been referred to that has the potential of turning victory into defeat. George, while it was very encouraging as I read your report and as you have already discussed, to hear that Christian conservatives actually identify in this order of impact on their lives and the way they think, number one, the Bible, second, religious instruction, and then family values, there was a problem that was seemed to come out of this research, and That is what I'm calling a blind spot, because something didn't ring true. I'm just, rather than me try to explain, I'm going to go to you right now. And would you explain this troubling blind spot that you identified in this research that really was a counter or a contradictory position as stated by Christian conservatives, but as evidenced in other factors in their life? Would you explain that, please?
Sure. You know, when we look at the research, I mean, one of the things that was, to me, kind of shocking was the fact that so very few said that the entertainment media and the news media have much impact on their life. I know that we believe that the mainstream media are biased, that they're subjective, that they're not trustworthy, that they don't report facts the way they actually are. We've measured all that in our research. We see that SageComs understand that. But at the same time, for them to say that the media overall, whether we're talking about television or movies or music or books or the Internet or any of the many other mass media sources to which we're exposed, to say that that has little to no influence on our lives is shockingly, let's just say, naive. I think we could say, well, maybe it's an issue of denial. Maybe it's an issue of ignorance, misunderstanding. Maybe it's all of the above. I don't know. But I do know from past research that I've done, because this is a topic that has interested me for years and years, decades, actually. We've done a lot of qualitative research in people's lives where we've tried to figure out why do they think what they think and do what they do. And in the most recent major project that we did related to that, what we discovered is that the media, more than anything else, influences our worldview. It's the messages that are consistently conveyed to us by television, by radio, by books, by magazines, by the Internet, by you name it in terms of media. Those are the messages that get driven home in our minds and hearts, and that we embrace as reality. That's why when you opened the program talking about fake news, you know, I thought it was such an important topic for you to bring up in this regard, because, you know, we take all of this pretty much at face value. And even though sometimes we say, well, I know that they're not telling the truth about this, I know that they've distorted that, nevertheless, the fact that we're continually exposed to stories that keep banging home those falsehoods, eventually, we begin to buy some of it. We've seen that through the research. And when people say, but, you know, I don't let the media into my life, I can show you the numbers that indicate that born-again Christians absorb pretty much the same amount of media, and in many cases the same type and sources of media, as non-Christians. So we spend more time with the media than we do sleeping, than we do at work, than we do hanging out with our families, than we do reading the Bible and listening to religious instruction put together. Yes, it is huge in our lives.
You know, George, I remember a number of years ago seeing a survey. Maybe you did it. I don't know. But this goes back quite a few years that related to MTV. And that particular survey that was put out said that there are more Christian young people watching MTV than, or at least as many, than those young people who were brought up in Christian homes. I don't know if you recall that particular survey or not, but I always thought that that was interesting to me. And it does show that even though we may not always recognize it, the media does have, as it were, a great impact upon both Christians and non-Christians alike. But getting back to what we're talking about here, the fact that Christian conservatives say overwhelmingly that they don't trust the media and really don't even think that the media should be involved in shaping their lives and their culture, but also claim that the media doesn't affect their thinking, is truly an amazing statement. So, George, I'm wondering if you can give us an example or two that would prove what this group of people are saying and actually doing to contradict each other here.
Well, gosh, I mean, there are so many examples we could turn to. I mean, if let's just for starters, take the arena of family, and let's look at some of the components that relate to that. if we think about what's sometimes called gay marriage, the fact that tens of millions of born-again Christians now believe that marriage between two same-sex individuals is biblically appropriate, I mean, that teaching didn't come from the pulpit. That came from the media. We can look at ideas about traditional marriage and the notion right now that most Americans, including tens and tens of millions of born-again Christians, that divorce is a morally acceptable behavior. Why? Because God wants us to be happy. Excuse me, where does all of this teaching come from? Hopefully not from our pulpit, you know, certainly not from the Bible. We could look at the reality that more than 4 out of 10 children in America are born to mothers who are not married at the time of that birth. Well, and that most Americans now believe that that's a morally acceptable behavior. Well, that's certainly not biblical. Where did that idea come from? It's coming from the media. We see it in the movies. We see it in television. We read about it in books. We look at the celebrities in the fan magazines who are having children without being married. I mean, these messages are driven home time after time. We can look at pornography. You know, the company that I started years ago, the Barna Group, recently put out a great study on the use of pornography by Christians in America. It's an epidemic. Now, how is that possible? It's not because in Sunday school they're passing out porn magazines. It's because of what the culture is doing to the minds of American Christians. We can look at the whole notion of abortion, quote-unquote, rights. There's no right to killing an unborn child. And yet what we've got is, again, tens of millions of born-again Christians who have bought into this notion that it's a woman's right to choose to murder a child that she conceived. So, you know, we can go on and on with these kinds of things, but we've blurred the lines between tolerance and judgment and discretion and discernment. And what's happened is we now have a nation full of silent Christians because we've been led by the media to believe, you know, all that stuff that you learned as a child, all those values your parents taught you, all that stuff that you hear from the pulpit. How outdated and silly and foolish is that? There's no grounding for it. And many, many people, even though they won't parrot that back, they either buy that lie or they have been silenced by the overwhelming magnitude of the lies that are poured forth from the media. So for Christians, committed Christians, and SageCons are one of the groups that is the most committed group of Christians in the country, for them to say that the media has no influence on them, shame on us for even believing that's possible. This is just another lie from the enemy.
George, let me ask you this. That was a lot to take in. But you said you hope that a lot of pastors not standing in their pulpit teaching that the goal is to be happy. If I could say this as one who travels across the nation, my fear is this, that there are a lot of pastors standing in the pulpit, and the goal is not holiness. The goal for them with their people is the happiness of their people, but it is an unscriptural way to arrive at happiness and contentment. The other thing I wanted to mention before I ask you a critical question is we talked on Tuesday of this week about, you know, the role of protecting ourselves, you know, guns, having armed people in church. That is a huge topic. It's amazing to me how so many Christians view that used to not even be an issue years ago. So my question to you is this. Why, in your opinion, is it that Christian conservatives say that the Bible is their number one influence when, in actuality, it is not, and they say that the media has no influence on them when it actually does? What's going on here? Why is this taking place?
Well, you have to think, Dave, I think, about the context in which all of this happens. When we think about Bible teaching, that's an overt, intentional practice that we, if you will, volunteer for. We drive ourselves someplace to listen to somebody teach us. So we've made a conscious decision, I'm going to allow that information into my life. Now, the other side of that coin is what happens with the media, where what you've got is what we might call invisible instruction taking place. When we sit and we watch
a primetime drama on television. When we listen to radio programs, I mean, that's kind of what is instruction, but we don't see it as instruction. We think of it as entertainment. We think of it as fun. So we're absorbing those lessons without realizing that's what's happening.
Thank you, George. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back in the next segment, we're going to pick up on this communication here. We're going to talk about the only or the biblical solution to this cultural blind spot. How do we stop this disconnect between what the Bible says and what we think is happening in our own lives? It's got to be correct. We're going to talk about that in this next segment.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Today, people are living longer than their forebears. Right now, more than 1 million Americans are alive past age 100. That means you need to work toward having financial resources that can give you independence into your golden years. But waiting different investment options may make you feel overwhelmed. You need someone, a trusted friend, who can come alongside and help you keep the complex simple. That's where the Life Financial Group comes in. For nearly 40 years, the Life Financial Group has helped thousands of families, not only here in Pennsylvania, but nationwide, become even better financial stewards of God's blessings. Managing your investments may feel challenging, but by using a complete financial stewardship approach, you too can gain confidence and peace of mind that your wealth is protected and that you maintain your financial independence. With morally clean investment options, we can help you reach your goals while honoring your convictions. Call us at the Life Financial Group today at 610-385-4500 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Raised by an elderly white couple after his mother was kidnapped following the Civil War, he began school in Neosho, Missouri, and graduated from Iowa State College of Agriculture. Booker T. Washington recruited him to teach at Tuskegee Institute, where he introduced hundreds of uses for the peanut, soybean, and sweet potato, revolutionizing the South's economy. His name was George Washington Carver, and he died this day, January 5, 1943. Turning down offers to work for Henry Ford and Thomas Edison, George Washington Carver said, "My purpose alone must be God's purpose, to increase the welfare and happiness of His people."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Your child deserves the best. Shouldn't that include an exceptional education? PA Leadership Charter School is a kindergarten through 12th grade online public school serving students across Pennsylvania. Voted number one cyber school in PA, PA Leadership Charter School provides a flexible but structured approach to education. Visit PALCS.org or call 1-877-725-2785 to learn more. That's PALCS.org. PA Leadership Charter School is training tomorrow's leaders today.
A nation of well-informed men who have been taught to know and prize the rights which God has given them cannot be enslaved. It is in the region of ignorance that tyranny begins. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
At the beginning of this program today, we talked first about the whole developing terminology of fake news and the fact that truth, deception, intentional deception, and misleading is what constitute fake news. Then the research that we've uncovered and we've had shared today by George Barna this week, we understand and clearly understand that Christian conservatives say that the Bible, religious teaching and instruction, and then family values are, in that order, the three most important developers or influences of their thought. But at the same time, they are also holding to a position that they say that the media, the news, the arts, and all that they may see in the internet and so forth, has little to no impact on their lives. Yet, as George just shared, it has a tremendous impact on their lives, and that is also provable. So we have a very dangerous position. That's what we're calling a blind spot. George, we started in the earlier segment, and we at the very beginning of this program, when I ask you, what's the result of a culture or a church or a family who accepts this concept that fake news exists and they think it doesn't affect them, you came back and said it used some of these words. You said it creates a distorted perception or alters the perception of reality. I think you used the words their views and their choices become distorted. It creates a fantasy world. I wrote down that you also said that it ultimately creates a doubt in the existence of God himself, and there with it then obviously would be the entire concept of a biblical worldview and the fact that God lays out a plan that if you follow it, it's best, and if you avoid it or ignore it, it's not going to work out. To me, George, this lays out a challenge for 2017. We try to close this program with biblical solutions because ultimately that's the only place you can go where you're going to get a predictable answer and to your question. But as we look at that, I'm going to go to you first here right now and ask you, in your opinion, what are some practical solutions for correcting this unbelievably dangerous position being held, not just by the culture, but for Christians themselves who say they believe in God's word but manifest a disconnect to it?
Well, Sam, I guess I would say maybe the big picture response to that is we've got to be more reflective about our lives. As Americans, generally, we do not do very well at self-examination. We're more interested in having a lot of experiences and accomplishments than we are at looking deeper into who we are and you know, really being the kind of people that Christ has called us to be. So I think, you know, first and foremost, the answer is that we've got to reconsider what it is that influences us and how those things influence us. Now, given that, then, I'd say there are some things that are part of that process. The first of those is that we, as a group, need to spend more time diving into the Bible. We've got to know truth in order to identify distortions and lies and falsehoods. Mm. If you don't know what truth is, you won't know what a lie is. It's all the same. And so we've got to understand what God instructs us about truth. Secondly, I'd say that this is kind of a plea to our church leaders to recognize that SageCons, conservative Christians around the country, are essentially begging and expecting their churches and their church leaders to step up and help us to do these things. We don't need more sermons for the sake of sermons. We don't need to just check off the box about church attendance. We don't need more programs. What we need is teaching directly from God's word that we can relate to the choices that we make from day to day, teaching that we can relate to how we think about life, in other words, that worldview. We need a church that will help us to build relationships with people who also want to glorify God through how we live. So that's going to be another part of it, because it's through those relationships, it's through the coaching and the accountability that will come out of those relationships. That community of believers is an important element toward us being able to change our media habits, change our spending habits, change our relational habits, change our life goals, all of those things, so that they're more in concert with God's ways. Final thing I'll say is that I think family, of course, is absolutely critical. I think it was Gary before mentioned the MTV study that had been done roughly two decades ago, and yes, we were aware of it. We did a parallel study at the time and found that, yes, Christians were just as likely, if not more likely, to be watching MTV. But when I talked with the people at MTV, some of the research directors in the company, one of the things that they told me is, you know, within our larger parent company, and of course they're owned by a huge media conglomerate, we recognize that winning over the minds of children is the most important thing we can do. Hmm. Because if we can get them as children, we have them for life. And so that's the battle right there. It's the culture against the family. And the family has to be aware that, yes, this is a declared war for the minds and the hearts and the souls of our children, because they know that somebody's worldview develops when they're young. Starts developing around the age of 18 months and is pretty fully developed by the time they reach 13 years. So those years are absolutely crucial, and families have a critical job to do them.
George, I think that's an excellent layout here, and we don't have much time in this segment. Dave, I'm going to go to you because George talked about the pulpit. Gary, you're in the pulpit proclaiming the truth regularly, and that has to happen, we know, by the remnant pastors in America. Dave, let me go to you here just briefly and say you're an evangelist. You get into lots of pulpits across the country. Do you think that there's an element here where evangelists, kind of in that old prophet role who just says, thus saith the Lord, has a role to play in calling our pulpits and people generally to an awareness of what really is going on and the penalties or the results of not heeding what George just said?
Yes. In fact, what George just said, the entire program is worth what he just said. It was an amazing, amazing assessment he just gave. Sam, in a day where there is so much preaching from an expositional standpoint, and please don't think I'm demeaning that, because I am not, but there has to be preaching that is relevant to the issues that people are facing in their families, in their finances, in their decision making. And I can tell you this, that kind of preaching is growing less and less across the United States of America. And Sam, it must come back, or we're not going to have any hope whatsoever of impacting these SageCons or anyone else for that matter with the truth of God's word.
George Barnett, we've been closing our program in prayer. We don't have much left time here, but could I ask you to lead our audience nationwide to prayer and pray for some of these things that we've talked about on this program, because we need God's help. We really do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Lord God, we are privileged to serve you on this earth, but we pray that as we strive to do that, we invite you to open our eyes to who you are, to who we are in relation to your greatness. And we ask you to open our eyes as to who and what influences our minds and hearts. We ask you to guide us to make better choices with our time and resources. We ask you to mold us into a community that supports each other on the journey to wholeness, and that we would not be seeking happiness, but we will be seeking your holiness. And we pray all this through the power, might, and glory of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it on the program today. If you do not know the truth of God's word, you cannot identify the fake or the lies. I encourage you, stand in the gap for truth where you are. But to do that, you must know God's word. Go there, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you back tomorrow, 23 hours from now.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Live from beautiful West Norriton Township. This is AM 1180.